Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Happy New Year, friends. Happy New Year. Now, I realize you may be listening on Friday night or Saturday afternoon, and it hasn't quite hit yet, but it is just around the corner. If you're listening on Sunday, you're already into the new year, the new liturgical year, that is, that we have started here with this first Sunday of Advent. As we are looking to this new liturgical year, and I always like to take a bit of time on these new liturgical years just to remind us all of why it's so important to live out the liturgical calendar. It is important to live out the liturgical calendar for our own sanctification and for the sanctification of the world. Of course, the glorification of God, the glory of God is at the center of our own sanctification. Why is that? Because, well, St. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, he says that we are, those who are called are also predestined. Yeah, those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brothers. So, the thing is that we have a story to live. Of course, we have a story to live, but we are called by God to unify our story with the story of Christ. Not that we become, and we don't revert back to first century Palestine and walk around in tunics and such, but we do have a way of mimicking and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us so that our lives look more and more like Christ to ourselves and to others. And this is a good thing. This does not rob us of our own identity. In fact, because God does not take over our identity, he actually fulfills it. We become more of ourselves the more we live out a life that's in conjunction with the story of Christ. And one very important way of doing that is to walk with him through these important days of Advent, through the Christmas season, of course, through Lent, through Easter, and through all of ordinary time as well. It's important that we do that because the more we familiarize ourselves with Christ, with his teaching, with his person, and the more we say yes to that, then the more our lives are transformed to look more and more, are conformed, as St. Paul said, to the image of Christ himself. Because really, what's promised to us is that we are to spend eternity in union with God through Christ, and we find our adoption through being made incarnate with, incorporated with Jesus Christ himself. That's what baptism is all about as well. And so the liturgical year is a gift to us, and I encourage you at the beginning of this liturgical year to make a New Year's resolution to follow maybe perhaps just a bit more closely the liturgical calendar. See what's going on. See what saints we're celebrating. See what season we're in and what are the appropriate ways of celebrating and upholding that season. And stick to it because it is a wonderful journey through the life of Christ himself. Of course, Advent, a beautiful season, a season of hope, a season of darkness that is waiting for the light, a season of looking ahead, not just to Christmas, but also to Christ coming again in glory, and how we profess that every Sunday when we say the creed, that he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. It's a little bit of a foretaste of living in that kingdom when we celebrate Advent to the full. And so we internalize it. Christ's story becomes our own. And then there's a missional aspect to this, too. It is also for the salvation of the world, because he continues his saving work in the world through the power of his Spirit, who is alive and at work in us and through us for others. And our Holy Mother Church has given us our gospel reading for this first Sunday of Advent. Yes, we are in the year of St. Mark, but we're starting near the end. We're starting with Mark chapter 13, Jesus' eschatological discourse prior to his imminent death. He is talking all the way through this chapter about basically signs of the end of the age. And this little snippet that we're given of the end of Mark chapter 13 for our Sunday gospel reading this first Sunday of Advent really points once again, it's seamlessly carrying on from what we just heard from Matthew. He's saying to his disciples, be watchful, be alert, because you do not know when the time will come. And again, that's being watchful for the presence of Christ and welcoming it whenever and wherever it comes, so that he might be born in us come Christmas, but of course come the entirety of our earthly lives. So there's much reason for hope, especially in these trying times of pandemic. There's much reason for hope. There's much reason for hope because Jesus Christ is alive. We but need to say yes to him. All right, coming up on the Rediscover Hour today, we've got an interview with Bishop Cousins. We had Archbishop Hebda on last week. We have Bishop Cousins on this week. He's going to be talking to us kind of on that same theme. He's going to be talking to us about sanctity and why it's important to pursue sanctity in our lives. Then we're going to have Father Eric Rutten and Adam Fitzpatrick, who are going to tell us all about the Day of Prayer and Fasting Against the Sin of Racism, which is coming up on December 2nd. They're going to talk to us about what that's all about. And then my colleagues, Paul Sadek and Cami Berthume, are going to be talking with me about a new, well, I don't want to give it away, but a new announcement that we have to give to you about the Rediscover Hour. Exciting things happening here. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, giving it over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So please pray with me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My first guest needs no introduction, but he is the Auxiliary Bishop for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, Bishop Andrew Cousins. Your Excellency, good to have you back on the program.
It's great to be with you, Patrick. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Things going well with you?
Things are going well. In the midst of everything that everyone is, one of all of us are going through together, things are going well.
Good. I am pleased to hear it. Well, we are grateful for your continued leadership in our local church, so thank you for that. And today we want to talk a little bit about becoming a saint, which is a great topic. Of course, we're all in the midst of, well, trials and tribulations, that can certainly be said, but becoming a saint. Let me start out with just a question of why is it important to seek sanctity?
You know, I was thinking about this because of the Feast of All Saints, which always begins November, and so that's really one of my favorite feast days, because I feel this sense of communion, like there are thousands and thousands of people who've actually reached the end of the journey and arrived at becoming saints and sanctity, even if they haven't all been canonized in St. Peter's Square, you know. But I always love the quote of St. Teresa of Calcutta. She said, holiness is not the obligation of the few, it's the simple duty of everyone. It's not the privilege of the few, it's the simple duty of everyone. And so the fact is that because of our baptism, we've been claimed by God and we belong to him. And so the fulfillment of baptism, the only right fulfillment of baptism, is to become a saint. And as the author Leon Bloy said, really the only great tragedy in life is not to become a saint. That is not to fulfill the mission for which I was created for by God, because each of us were created by a direct thought of God and with a particular mission for him.
I love the tie-in there between not just personal sanctification, which of course, you know, that's important, but the tie-in comes with mission as well, right? It's living out the call that we've been given.
Yeah, this is the beauty of sanctity, is that it actually doesn't have to be extraordinary things. It's lived in the midst of my ordinary life, but it's deeply meaningful because I've been given a particular mission. There are people who are depending on me for their own salvation sometimes to fulfill that mission. And so it's very important that I become the kind of disciple who listens to Jesus and tries to discern, how is he calling me to live? Who am I before him? And then how am I called to live because of who I am?
I think this is an important distinction because, as you know, I'm a convert to the Catholic faith. And one of the ongoing critiques of Catholicism is that it's very rules-based. And I think sometimes it can get into our Catholic sensibilities, our Catholic mentality, that really in order to please God, what I need to do is I need to make sure that I'm not sinning. And I think we have a very narrow definition of that term sinning. You know, we're not transgressing. We're not killing people. We're not committing adultery, et cetera, et cetera. But what I'm hearing you say is that sanctity is really about giving that yes to God each and every day to what he has called us to. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I loved the way that G.K. Chesterton said it. He said, you know, the rules, they're like the fence around the playground. And actually, you know, especially if there's a cliff on the other side of that fence, children will play a lot better if there's a fence where they know where the boundaries are, right? Mm-hmm. But the point is not what I'm avoiding, but what I'm called to do. You know, it's about what actually happens in the playground. That's the most important thing. And so becoming a saint is developing a relationship with God such that I actually put him at the center of my life, and I seek to live with him as my first and foremost relationship, as Jesus said, right? Loving God with all my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, and loving my neighbor as myself. And so it's actually about how, particularly in my individual circumstances, God is calling me to lay down my life in love, to give myself in love, mm-hmm. which, by the way, is the most joyful thing we can do. This is why the saints are the happiest people. They're living the highest level of happiness, which comes from making a gift of myself in union with God.
Love it, love it. You know, the G.K. Chesterton quote, I sometimes, well, being a Wisconsinite and a Packers fan, I sometimes say, you know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't go out on the field just saying, okay, everybody, let's remember to not, you know, let's not have any false starts. Let's not have any offensive pass interference. No, he goes out there to play the game, right? To
right.
live out the game. Yeah, which is a wonderful thing. Okay, well, seeing that we're in the midst of a worldwide pandemic and that's caused undue suffering, or untold suffering, I should say, in so many ways, both, of course, with those who have contracted the virus, those who have died of the virus, and those who are close to them who are suffering because they've lost a loved one, but also in ways of isolation and just all the psychological effects that it's had around, in and around us. So how does really devoting oneself to, as you said, making my life a gift to God, how does that change things in the midst of a worldwide pandemic?
You know, as you already kind of intimated at the beginning of the show, trials and difficulties are actually part of what God allows in our lives in order to call forth a greater gift of self from us. And so, you know, you're reading like St. Peter, I can't think of the exact verse where he says, you know, basically be grateful for the trials that the Lord is allowing, because the Lord's allowing them to purify you. And he uses the analogy, it's also in the book of Hebrews, about how a father allows trials to strengthen and discipline his son because he loves him. And so we know that God allows trials in our lives as sons and daughters because he loves us. And greater good will be called forth out of us in those trials. At the same time, we have to remember that God wills that we have limits, and that, you know, he created us human beings. I often say to myself, if God wanted this done perfectly, he would have made me an angel, but I'm not an angel. And so I have limits, and limits mean suffering, and therefore I'm not going to be able to do everything perfectly. And when our Lord says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, he doesn't mean don't be a human being and never make mistakes and never experience your limits. He means love perfectly as your heavenly Father loves perfectly, which happens within my limits. So it means that for me now, that means I have to love more the various people that I'm around more, maybe because I'm at home more. I have to try to be patient with all of the circumstances that come and that we're experiencing in our country right now. Those are all part of the particular call to love. And the beauty is that I love, I can't remember which saint it is, but it's a quote about St. Joseph. I've been doing this consecration to St. Joseph with the whole Archdiocese for this month. And there's a line in there which says, it's about St. Joseph. I'm pretty sure it's St. Bernard of Clairvaux, where he says, God never gives a vocation or an office that he doesn't also give the grace to fulfill it. So he didn't call St. Joseph to be the foster father of Jesus and the spouse of Mary and not give St. Joseph the grace to fulfill that. He didn't call me to be a bishop and not give me the grace to fulfill that. He doesn't call you to be a father or a husband without giving you the grace to do it. And so we can actually count on the fact that there's grace in the particular circumstance I'm in. Doesn't mean I do it alone. It doesn't mean I just have to try harder. I have to access that grace through help of other people, through friends, but it happens within the particular trials that I happen to be going through today, which ultimately are a blessing and not a curse.
Right. I think that there's so much in there, and there's so much that we have been given. Oftentimes, I will admit, I tend to overlook it. Or I tend to forget that I've been given graces to fulfill my vocation, my call from God in life. But I think, too, sometimes a temptation exists to think about this on a very individualistic level, that mm-hmm. there is something that I am doing that's really creating for me. You know, it as we always tend to do with our concupiscence, it always tends to focus back in on us. But there's really an ecclesial element here too, isn't there? It's a way that the church itself is built up as a community in unity, correct?
Yeah, so I'd say there's two aspects to that. One is I need the others in the body of Christ to help support me on my path to holiness. No one is meant to grow to holiness alone. So I need those good friends who I can call when I'm struggling or when I'm in spiritual desolation, and the wise person or spiritual counselor or director that I can talk to when I'm in a difficult spot. So God intends that we would need each other, and he gives us each other to help on that journey. So in that sense, it's not just something I do like a heroic person alone. But also, there's a strong ecclesial dimension to it in the sense of the graces that I'm given are for the sake of the body, right? Not just for my own personal sanctification, but actually to strengthen others and to be a strength to others and to be a presence to others. And it's part of the beauty of the church is we're all in this together, and we all go to heaven together. Nobody gets to heaven alone. We all get to heaven as members of this body. And so in that sense, we're very much called to look out for each other, to reach out to each other, to be a source of consolation and strength for each other on this road. And God gives graces to help each other in that.
Yeah. And thank goodness that he does, because it's tough to recognize. But once again, what I'm thinking about is that how when I don't give my yes willingly to God, it doesn't just hurt me in my relationship with God. It injures the body. I mean, St. Paul's body theology understands this. The church is the mystical body of Christ. Plays right into that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think also for me, when I think about it, one of the most important things is prayer. And I mean by that all of the different aspects of prayer. So the Mass, and when I gather and able to gather with other people to pray, the Liturgy of the Hours, which of course is the prayer that the church kind of prays together, even if we pray it apart, you know. And most especially that those personal moments with the Lord where I can be honest with the Lord about what my particular struggle is and what's weighing on me. And I can receive from him a different way to see the circumstances, whether that's a relationship I'm struggling with that I need a different way to see, whether that's just the weight of the stress of my life. For example, that quote I mentioned from St. Joseph, where it said, that God always gives the grace for the office to be fulfilled. Well, I read that in prayer a couple of days ago, and it was going to be a particularly busy day for me as a bishop, and it was a great consolation for me. The Lord spoke to my heart saying, you know, I'm giving you the graces for this day, and it's going to be fine, and it lifted my heart to allow me, even though I was tired, to go through the day in a different way, to think, okay, I'm not just got to push through this difficult circumstance in my tiredness, but God's with me, and he's providing grace for me, and I can receive that and expect it, and it can lift me in the midst of the day and help me then to lift others.
Encouragement indeed. Just a few minutes remaining, Bishop, but I did want to ask this too, because another temptation I think we face oftentimes is the idea of a saint. You know, I'm just an ordinary person. So how am I supposed to become a saint?
You know, that's the beauty of the saints. And it's why it's important actually to read the lives of the saints, because you realize that a lot of them were really ordinary people, and they were ordinary people who surrendered their lives completely to God. There were saints who were mentally ill. Saint Joseph Labre, who was a street person who lived in Rome, and he was mentally ill. Everybody accepts that. He wanted to be religious, but he couldn't get into religious communities because of his mental illness. But he spent his time begging on the streets, and he gave away everything that he begged to other poor people to help them in their lives and with great charity. And it was all the street people of Rome that showed up at his funeral when he died, and there were hundreds and thousands of them. Or you think of some of the very simple saints. I was just reading about a brother, Andre, who lived in Canada, was a Holy Cross brother, and he was basically the porter at the door. And Father Solanus Casey was a similar case to that. Both of these men, they didn't have great teaching skills. They were never on a radio show. You know, they didn't do great things. They did little things. They met people with charity at the door, and they tried to love the person in front of them. And God did incredible things because of their faith and their hope and their love. And so in that sense, we know there were saints who were dishwashers. There were saints who were teachers. There were saints who were lawyers. There were saints in every profession and every way of life. What matters is that I seek today, with God's help, to surrender my life to Him and to do what I need to do for Him and out of love for Him, depending on His grace and the help of others.
Yeah, well said. And of course, we can always use all the help that we can get. So before we let you go, Bishop, may we ask you for your blessing, please?
Yes, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit descend upon each of you and remain with you forever. Let's Amen. Pray for each other.
Yeah, let's do that. Bishop Cousins, thank you so much for joining us. We'll look forward to next time.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you too. And we've got coming up for us next, we're going to head into our first break. When we come back, we've got Father Eric Rutten with us, along with Adam Fitzpatrick. They're going to be talking about an upcoming day of prayer and fasting against the sin of racism. You'll want to know about it. Stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Thank you so much for all that you do for all of us, and you touch all of our lives in so many ways, and probably ways you don't realize. I've been a listener for over 10 years, and it's amazing.
Powered by you, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
What do you think the greatest act of love that we could do right now would be? I think it is to help other people know Jesus Christ. Well, how can I do that? Well, it's simple. You know, you invite people, you talk about your faith, you share things. You don't have to do it perfectly. And then the other thing you need to do is you need to support organizations who are doing good work, like Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. You know, we've done a lot of suffering over the sin of racism in our country. There's been a lot of it going on from the earliest days of our country, of course, and it continues today. Not that things haven't gotten better, but there's still a ways to go. And joining us now to talk about that, well, first we have Adam Fitzpatrick with us, who is currently the Social Mission Outreach Coordinator for the Center for Mission. He's the former Director of Faith Formation at St. Thomas More Parish and the Faith Formation Coordinator of St. Thomas Becket. Adam, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. Thank you for being with us. And then I think we're still trying to get a hold of Father Rutten, so he is on the way here shortly, we hope. Okay, Adam, let's start with you, though. What's involved in this day of prayer and fasting against the sin of racism on December 2nd, and what went into designing this day?
So when we're looking at designing this day, we're looking for something that is an easy access point for people to be thinking about the sin of racism in our country, because it's a very challenging topic, and so we need something that's a low barrier entry point. And when we had discussed with the Archbishop and other members of our committee, so Father Tom Margavichich and Father Michael Jonkus, in addition to Father Rutten and myself, We came up with the idea for a day of prayer and fasting against the sin of racism. Hmm. And then the goal is to have this be the beginning to start conversations in parishes about what can we do against racism.
Mm-hmm. And that's an important point, too, because obviously we do need to act, but it's all the better if we act from a good, organized, well-thought-through way, and we do it together, even if we're not able to meet person-to-person at this time. It's good that we're acting under a common, kind of a common mindset toward this, isn't it?
Yes, very much so, and especially when we're seeing the polarization as it's coming up in our country, finding some way that we can stand together as Catholics and say, racism is a major problem in our country, and we need to have our own hearts softened as we engage the lives of people who have suffered from the effects of racism.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of healing that needs to be done. There's a lot of things that need to be done to address the continued way that racism plays itself out in our midst, in our society, just one of the many ways that we look to heal our society. So, and I should let the listeners know, apparently Father Rutten is not available right now, but Adam, we're going to stick with you, and we'll just pray for Father Rutten and whatever's going on with him, that he is being safe in the Lord. Adam, so as we continue to talk about racism in our society, I mean, I think a lot of times people in the northern U.S. can kind of fool themselves into thinking, well, you know, the whole institution of slavery, we were against that in the Civil War, and so it doesn't really play that big of a role. But that's not really true, is it?
No, I mean, when we look at the pastoral letter from Harry Flynn in 2003, he points out the subtleties of racism, particularly in northern areas such as Minnesota. I mean, in the South, you might have more overt acts of racism, but in northern areas, we have a lot of racism in housing structures. We still have issues from generational wealth that have happened from redlining that happened for decades. People of color were not allowed to live in certain neighborhoods and could not get bank loans for certain houses. And this happened all across the country, not just in the South. So when we're looking at the generational effects that has when housing prices don't rise as considerably, and that's how many Americans gain their wealth, it's really a challenge to then say, oh, the system was equal, because it's not.
Right.
We don't have the same starting point.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things, too, is that I think we need to come to that awareness as we're starting to address racism in our own environment, in our own community here in the local church, the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. So let's get in a little bit to the details about this day, this Archdiocesan Day of Prayer and Fasting Against the Sin of Racism. Again, it's Wednesday, December 2nd. What are you encouraging people to do on this day?
So we are encouraging people that we have a morning mass with Bishop Cousins leading the mass at the cathedral. I believe, I don't know when their morning mass time is, so you can please correct me on that. I think it's like 7 or 7:30 in the morning.
7:30 traditionally, yep.
7:30, great. And then we are inviting parishes to do some sort of reflection as a part of their own day, whether it's talking about it in Catholic schools, in like a social studies class or a geography class, or if it's going to be having an extra period of adoration in their parish, even though that's hard to do with COVID at this point now. But we're hoping to have some extra commemoration during the day, and then in the evening, we are having an evening prayer service led by the Archbishop. And evening prayer service led by the Archbishop at 7 p.m. at the cathedral, which will also be live streamed. Mm-hmm. So that will come out through the Archdiocesan Communications Department soon.
Mm-hmm. And I see that there's a guest homilist, Father Prentice Tipton. Do you want to say a few words about him?
Yes. So Father Prentice Tipton is a rector of the Saginaw Cathedral in Saginaw, Michigan. And he was actually trained in our own seminary here in the Archdiocese of Minneapolis and St. Paul, and then went to serve in the Diocese of Saginaw. He will be our guest homilist for the evening.
Mm. Yeah, it's wonderful to be able to have so many voices kind of leading us on into addressing this sin. Now, of course, this day, as you already mentioned, Adam, is really not just a one-day flash-in-the-pan type of thing, right? It's not meant to be that, but it's rather to be a catalyst in our midst to us focusing in on and continuing the fight against racism in our midst. Any thoughts about how that might actually occur once the day has passed and once you're hoping that parishes really do take on extra efforts to combat the sin of racism?
Right now, we are looking at, so we had found an old study guide from the 2003 In God's Image Pastoral Letter, and I am working with Father Rutten and a few parishioners from St. Peter Claver to get out a four-session program that parishes could use to aid in their reflection on racism. The other piece that would that's also helpful and in terms of Catholic social teaching on subsidiarity is for parishes to use this day as a day to think about what goes on in their own community and start to think about their own reflection as a community.
Yeah, and that's, again, reflection, prayer. Prayerful reflection is definitely needed in this time. I think it does take, it does behoove us to be introspective somewhat and take a really good, honest look at what's going on inside of us as individuals and as parish communities. When it comes to the sin, I know, just sharing a little bit with you, Adam, that I once lived in a higher needs neighborhood of the Twin Cities, and I noticed, over time, I noticed that, yeah, there would be subtle changes in my own demeanor or apprehension level, depending on what color skin the person who was walking down the street toward me was. And that in and of itself revealed a whole, and it began a whole series of introspective prayers and really some soul searching within me. Even though, you know, like you had said about racism in the North, it wasn't overt, it wasn't overwhelming. I didn't feel that I had a racist attitude towards anyone. There was still a difference that I noticed when I was encountering someone with a different color skin. And even that needs to be addressed, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it's really when Pope Francis is talking about encounter, when we're encountering other people, we try to have those moments where we push ourselves a little bit and we encounter somebody that's different than us so that we can change our own hearts and get rid of the prejudices that allow us to be complicit in race, in systemic racist behavior.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And I think that... Yeah, please.
May I ask a question of you? Do you have any specific stories that really kind of put you over the hurdle to think about this as something that you really needed to address in your own life, like any encounters with a specific person?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, thank you for asking. And I would say that I remember distinctly one day, and in the midst of this, of course, there was I was surrounded by people of all sorts of different backgrounds, both ethnic as well as national backgrounds, as well as, you know, linguistic backgrounds and that sort of thing. And for the most part, was really enjoying the diversity of the community in which I lived. But it wasn't long. And I think that that's, again, that might be one of those things that can trip us up, right? That we recognize the value of the diversity around us. But it wasn't long before, when I was especially on my own, walking down the street, and if it was, especially if it was after dark, it would make a difference in my heart. Like I think it was just one particular instance when that happened that really kind of set me back and said, I need to do some thinking, I need to do some prayer, I need to do some reflection, and I need to make some changes here. And I think one of those important changes was to get to know people better, get to know better people who are of a different background than I am, and learn from their experiences as well. Yeah. Anything on in your own personal life too that has led you down a similar path?
I mean, it was always interesting growing up in North Dakota because you would assume that mostly white people in North Dakota, and there are, but because I played a card game called Yu-Gi-Oh, I ended up meeting a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds, and we all became friends playing a card game. And that's kind of how we connected, and many of us still stay in touch even 10, 15 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of more personal step. But in terms of work, too, I will say I have definitely had some nerves my first site visit, where I went to go drive into North Minneapolis, and I'm like, I don't know this neighborhood. I don't look like anyone in this neighborhood. And that was definitely a soul-searching moment for me, because when I'm going for a site visit for my work with the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, I have to have those moments where I'm in solidarity with the community, but that means I can't be afraid of the community.
Right.
And so I had to do a lot of intense soul-searching as a result of trying to just do my own work better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, soul searching is a good word for it, I would say. So on the one hand, there's this maybe a little bit of a denial of racist attitudes within our own hearts, even if they be on the more subtle side, or maybe especially if they be on the more subtle side. But on the other hand, there's also a recognition that there's so much work to be done, and that can lead to maybe the other end of the spectrum, a feeling of being overwhelmed with the amount of work that's yet to be done, and maybe even getting a little hopeless about it. Like, what can we ever do to make a dent in racism, or a continued dent? Now, we have had some huge strides forward as a nation, but we still got a ways to go. And so what would you say to people who are feeling that overwhelming sense of there's too much to do, so why even try?
I think you need to sit in that overwhelming feeling for just a moment, because it's important to feel your feeling. And that's going to be a part of being able to integrate your own person into the needs that you see before you in society.
Mm-hmm.
But after you have that moment of feeling overwhelmed, you need to take a reflection in looking at the non-white members of our community, and see if you're looking on the outside into racism and what to do. People that experience racism every day have the same feeling of overwhelming that you do, but also have to suffer from an oppressive system against them. And so then when you have that secondary movement, then you can take a step back and say, what's the piece I can do today? Because yes, there's a whole bunch of legal changes that have to happen. There's different regulations and levels of enforcement that have to happen to create more equality in our system. But start today, start by finding some group doing the work and trying to understand what they are doing, but also read and pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. We were just speaking with Bishop Cousins, and one of the things that he underscored was that we as human beings have limitations, and so there's, to take a little vamp on what he was saying, you know, there's a limited amount of time each day, but if the day is afforded to us, as, you know, we can get a day's work done in a day. So what I hear you saying, Adam, is that, you know, even taking small steps forward each and every day is the way of addressing the problem, whether as individuals and or parish communities.
Right. And it's always going to be, unfortunately, a two steps forward, one step back kind of journeying as you go forth, because you'll learn, oh, I offended somebody from some comment that I wasn't aware of. And so you'll have to go back, do your own reflection, and then try to repair relationships as that goes forth. But if you go into this process with goodwill and seeking to really understand the experience of people of color, indigenous, and the Black experience of America, people do see that you're trying to, even when it's not perfect.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, Adam, this has been a great conversation. I thank you for that. And let's hit the details of the event once more. It's December 2nd is the Archdiocesan Day of Prayer and Fasting Against the Sin of Racism. all sorts of events that can be found throughout the day, culminating with a prayer service from the Cathedral of St. Paul that can be live streamed through the Cathedral's Facebook page. That starts at 7 p.m. And we're praying that the Lord continues to work against this sin in our midst. Any further suggestions, Adam, before I let you go, about how listeners can be involved or what they can do afterwards?
I would say just stay tuned to the Archdiocesan Communications and the Center for Mission Office, because we will be working with different avenues to get more programming on racism. And if you have questions about what you can do in your own community, please feel free to contact me via Archdiocesan email or my office at the Archdiocese. Phone number for my office. Oh, I don't know if we do contact information over
there. Sure, yeah, you can share your phone number. That's fine.
Yeah, so office phone number for my office at the Center for Mission is 651-291-4410.
Wonderful. Well, Adam Fitzpatrick, Social Mission Outreach Coordinator for the Center for Mission, thank you so much for taking the time today. God bless you and your continued good work.
Yes, and thanks for the conversation, Paul. I appreciate it.
All right, there we go. So that Archdiocesan Day of Prayer and Fasting, Paul and I'll hit that again at the end of the show. One other thing that you could do is there's an Archdiocesan newsletter called Promoting Racial Justice and Peace. All you got to do is text ARCHSPM-PEACE to 55321, or you can sign up online at eva.us/archsps-peace. There we go. Weekly reminders on how to pray for the end of racism in our midst. Okay, let's go into our next break. When we come back, we've got Paul with us, as always, as well as Cami Berthume, as we're going to make a new announcement about the Rediscover Hour. Stay with us. Rediscover.
This is how we sometimes look at confession. Oh, I gotta go and I gotta get rid of my sin, because if I don't, then I'm gonna be in trouble.
In Central Texas, Monty, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Marcel.
I began to wonder for myself, what if I embraced the sacrament of penance in the same way I do all the other wonderful things that the Holy Mother Church offers us? And so I began to do that, and it totally transformed confession for me. And I just really love to go to confession. Now, a friend of mine gave me another tip. He said, you know, when you're sitting there and you have that anxiety and that fear about walking through that door, pray to your Holy Mother and ask her to go with you. And just like she leads us to her son, she'll take us in there and it'll be okay. And like you guys have said, that coming out of that room, that there's no feeling like that, clean and ready to receive the Holy Eucharist. It's just the greatest thing on earth.
Maybe you should be the next guest on the show, because that was beautiful.
Experts with insight on our Catholic faith.
Morning Air, 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Say a prayer, say a prayer in the night. Say a prayer, say a
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, it's a new liturgical year with the coming of Advent here, and there's some new news from the Rediscover Hour as well. Cami, first, let's introduce you. You are the digital content coordinator for the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, which includes your role here for the producer of the Rediscover Hour, and you also own your own part-time custom cookie business, Cookies by CJ. We should mention that. Great cookies that you do there. Cami, welcome to the program. Good to have you on.
Thanks. It's so fun to be here on this end.
Well, that's right. Behind the mic once again. Well, we're grateful that you're here. And Paul, as always, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, is with us.
You can't get rid of me.
I know. Every minute of every show, he is listening in and making sure that I don't make too big of a fool of myself, which is a monumental task.
It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it.
Yes. Well, Paul, we're grateful to have you too. Now, we've called the team together here today to talk about... Man, I would love to set this up by saying it's a little bit misleading, but I'm going to say it anyway, that, you know, come the end of 2020, the Rediscover Hour is coming to an end. That's a little misleading, but Cami,
but it works.
Yeah, but Cami, you have all the big announcement here, so I'm going to let you just tell the folks what to expect in 2021 from this show. What are we doing, Cami?
Yeah, totally. So, yes, the Rediscover Hour is coming to an end under the Rediscover Hour name. because we're relaunching and rebranding as Practicing Catholic. So we're going to be...
All right, cue the trumpets, right?
No.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Thanks, Paul. So essentially, it's going to be the same great programming that we already have. So we're going to be featuring the same awesome ministries and people, local talent that we already feature, but there are going to be more and easier ways to access our show. So we're featuring, you know, a refreshed look, featuring our new logo that better encapsulates our original mission of the Rediscover Hour, which is to bring the new evangelization to life here in our local church, you know, and in the lives of those we love. So part of the new logo features a person reaching out to those beyond just the physical structure of the church, which kind of symbolizes that we're called to meet people and, you know, love them where they're at on their journey toward, you know, missionary discipleship. So along with the whole new, the new look, we're kind of having new ways to access our shows, featuring a better archive system. So we currently have our great archive system on the ArchSPM website. But we're also hoping to split up our shows into individual segments. So instead of having to share the full show, you can only share, you know, just whatever segment you're most interested in sharing. And lastly, we're looking into having them more accessible on streaming services like Spotify and SoundCloud. So a couple of great changes, but a lot of familiarities, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's exciting. You know, we've been talking about this now for a while, of course, under wraps, but now that it's out in the open, I think it's exciting, and I look forward to talking with people about it and about their reaction to it. Of course, every time you take a look forward, it's always good to take a look back as well. As we just came through Thanksgiving and as we're looking into a new year, it's always good to be grateful for things that have come. And Paul, I want to just tap you for a second here, just to give us a little bit of a reminder of where the Rediscover Hour came from and maybe just a little bit of what it's, the different permutations it's gone through.
I feel so old.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever we can do, Paul, to
enhance
that.
Well, in 2000, I came to Relevant Radio in 2003, and it was in 2004 that my bosses said to me, Paul, do a local show. So I thought long and hard about the name. The thing that came out, kept on coming back to me was the breath of the Holy Spirit, but tying it in with the local church, the Twin Cities, and thus was born City Winds.
Ah, yeah, City Winds.
And that continued for a number of years, and then it was in 2012 that Sarah Mealy was working in the Archdiocesan Office of Communications, and she came to Relevant Radio and said, we'd like to do a show. Well, it was a natural for the show to replace City Winds, because most of my guests on City Winds were people from the Archdiocese and the various ministries. So the Rediscover theme actually came from Matthew Kelly, which whose book was being promoted quite heavily at the time, Rediscover Catholicism.
Right.
And so that's where the Rediscover Hour came from. We've had several host combinations. I started doing it, and then following me was Jeff Cavins, and then we went through several different ones, and then we ended up with you, Patrick.
Don't sound so disappointed, Paul.
It was a great change.
Yeah, well, it's been a privilege to be able to do the show here for, it's coming up. It's actually around 4 years that I've been doing the show. But, I do think it's been a good show. But, you know, there's always room for improvement. There's always things that we could do better. There's always ways that we could reach more people. And Cammy, back to you. So you mentioned some of the changes that's coming up. Did you have any specific people in mind that you were hoping to gain new listeners, any specific demographic that you were hoping to gain as new listeners?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're definitely hoping to appeal to, you know, younger audiences now, especially just by utilizing social media more efficiently. So that might take the form of what we're currently doing, actually, is previewing future shows. So on our Instagram and our Facebook page, we've been previewing 1 minute clips of our guests. So it gives our audiences a little bit of a taste of what's to come for that weekend show. which has been really cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're just hoping to, you know, revamp our social media a little bit and make shows more accessible.
And I know we also set up these monthly, this is a relatively new development, this monthly session with the bishops too, one with each of them, which is a great addition to the show that we get to hear from our local shepherds so often. Was that, mm-hmm. Give us the inside scoop, Cammie. Was that difficult to set up, or were they pretty willing to do that?
Well, they were really excited to do that because, you know, who doesn't love to hear from the bishops? And they're so willing to share their knowledge and just the love they have for their church. So Tom Halden, the director of communications, actually was the one to reach out to them and get all that going. And the whole communications team at the Archdiocese has been really involved, which has just been fantastic to have all of their knowledge and expertise kind of paving the way for the success, I guess, of the Practicing Catholic show. So for the bishops, we actually have Archbishop and Bishop Cousins segments up on our Instagram page right now. So the Instagram page is Evangelization ArchSPM. So you can listen to half of their segments there. And Bishop Cousins segment will be coming up this weekend.
Mm-hmm. That's been really exciting. I've been really glad to be able to share the updates or the little segments that you've been doing on Instagram with my friends, my Instagram followers as well. So thanks for doing that, Cammie. I know that's been great.
Yeah, it's so fun. And it's just, like you mentioned, it's a very easy way to, you know, share about the Rediscover Hour turned Practicing Catholic. And I think it just is one way to meet people where they're at. So if people are already on Instagram, already on Facebook, having these clips just super easily accessible, you know, the first thing that pops up when they open up their Instagram app or they open up their Facebook app, just you know, makes our presence more known. Drives more people to the ministries and the organizations that we like to feature, which is always our goal.
Right, absolutely. Showing how the Lord is working in our local church, which is a testimony to Him and inspiration, hopefully, for the rest of us as well. Now, even with the new social media outlets and with podcasting capabilities, hopefully soon in our future, and everything like that that we're looking to, Paul, let me go back to you for a second. You've been involved in radio for, dare I say it, decades. And yes. So with that
calling
being
him out.
Yeah, absolutely. But you have a lot of experience here. But
I am getting old, and I have to pay tribute to someone whose name slipped my mind a few minutes ago. And that is the lady who co-hosted with me for several years, Corey Regan.
Yes.
She did a fantastic job being thrust into the virtual radio spotlight, and she is part of the history of the Rediscover Hour. Thank you, Corey, if you're out there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Corey. But, Paul, I was going to ask you, now, even with all this new technology and social media and ways of connecting and everything, it's not true that radio is dying, is it? I mean,
no,
radio
continues. Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. I think probably our biggest listenership to over-the-air radio is in the car these days. At Relevant Radio, we always say that we love traffic jams because that has people listening longer. Radio is evolving. It's changing, but definitely not dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt.
I agree. I've been one of those people in traffic jams listening to Relevant Radio.
I rest my case.
Right.
Exactly. It might not. I've always loved Relevant Radio. So
yeah,
it's been a dream to work on the Rediscover Hour with you all.
Fantastic, and we agree. And we're sorry that you're not going to be working with the Rediscover anymore, but we're very excited that you're going to be continuing working with Practicing Catholic. All right, friends. Well, thank you for your good work. We've reached the end of our segment here, but we're so excited for January 1st, 2021. Look for the launch of Practicing Catholic. A lot of the same programming that you've been used to here on the Rediscover Hour, maybe a few new things, but also great ways to access the content as well. Cammie and Paul, Paul, you have to stay with me anyway.
I'll hang around.
Yeah, that'd be good. Thank you for your good work, Cammie. God bless you.
No problem. God bless you, too.
All right. Well, stay tuned. We're going to have continued updates about Practicing Catholic as it becomes a reality here in 2021. In the meantime, let's go into our last break. And when we come back, we've got, as usual, Paul and I have all sorts of great things for you to tune into to build your faith. Stay with us. Rediscover.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
When you can hear other people's stories of faith, stories of struggles, really helps me in my faith to know that I'm not alone. It doesn't matter where we are across the miles. We're all together as part of the body of Christ. That station has really blessed my life.
You just never know what you're going to hear on Relevant Radio that's going to help you on your path to heaven, to take you to that next level spiritually. There's always something new every single day with all of our hosts, with the three priests who answer your questions every day, with the other guests that we have. Your donation goes a long way to touching souls.
Donate now on the Relevant Radio website or app. Or give us a call, 1-877-291-0123. That's 1-877-291-0123.
When you call, ask about making a recurring gift. There are benefits for both you and for Relevant Radio.
And I just showed up.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. You know, with COVID numbers rising instead of falling, let's continue to do what we can for the common good and wear our masks in public, even when we go to Mass. If you aren't venturing out for Mass, check out archspm.org/COVID-19 for many spiritual resources and alternatives to in-person Mass, and a new video update from Archbishop Hebda on what he's asking of us and our parishes.
You can always hear daily Mass and devotions here on Relevant Radio. Start your day in prayer and reflection with Daybreak at 4 a.m., or on the app. Listen to daily Mass at noon and 7:30 p.m. Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 with Drew Mariani. Don't forget Family Rosary Across America at 7 with Father Rocky. Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon.
Plenty of resources online for your continued participation in the ongoing Synod process. Information, resources, videos, and more for Archdiocesan Year of St. Joseph, the Healing and Hope Virtual Retreat, and still up there is the Praying with Scripture series. They're all available at archspm.org/synod.
As we heard on the program today, the Archdiocesan Day of Prayer and Fasting Against the Sin of Racism is Wednesday, December 2nd. Take part by attending this Mass and offering your participation in reparation for sins of racism to the Sacred Heart of Jesus by praying the Rosary and the USCCB's Prayer Service for Racial Healing, and by asking for the intercession of the saints who have fought for racial equality, such as St. Catherine Drexel, St. Peter Claver. Finally, make sure to attend the 7 p.m. prayer service December 2nd virtually via the Cathedral's Facebook page.
Be sure to check out archspm.org/events, especially in this Advent season. We've got a number of things popping up there for other upcoming events around the Archdiocese. And you can still sign up to receive local evangelization updates. All you got to do is go to archspm.org/evangelization and enter your email address.
And don't forget to follow Rediscover Faith on Facebook and Evangelization Archspm on Instagram.
Are you an Instagrammer, Paul?
I'm not.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see you on
but,
there.
I figured, I should become one, I know.
Well, not necessarily. I don't want to force social media on anybody who doesn't want it. But well, I will say...
I do Facebook.
Okay. Well, yeah. Facebook is good. Facebook is another way of connecting, right? And, yeah. Cammie's been putting together some good things for just little snippets of the program there on Instagram. So make sure and follow Evangelization ArchSPM on Instagram. That's worthwhile. That's worth your while. It'll pop up every now and
all
again.
All right. I'll consider it.
Okay, well, there you go. All right, well, I suppose we should talk about the next show coming up as we are continuing on with the Rediscover Hour as well. You know, with COVID-19 cases surging, the priests of the COVID Anointing Corps, remember those? They are busier than ever. So we're going to check in with them with Father Paul Hedman. And we're also going to be joined by Jeff Dahls, who will share about this year's virtual Christmas at the Monastery event supporting the Sisters of St. Benedict with the St. Paul Monastery. We also hope to get in a little of our Great Catholic Parishes segment in there. So stay with us and continue to listen. In the meantime, go to church or stay at home and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday afternoon at 1, and Sunday afternoon at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.